You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The primary person in our text on this morning that is going to be the focus of the message is a man by the name of Timothy. And I must say, I admire Timothy and his story so much so that he is one of my favorite characters or people in Scripture. Who are we going to be dealing with this morning? Timothy. One of the primary meanings of Timothy's name is honorable. Honorable. To honor God. Timothy was known to be a man that was honorable. Someone that is honorable. Of course, there are a number of meanings and synonyms, but just for this morning, let's be mindful to be a person of honor says that you value and respect not just yourself, but God. Timothy's lifestyle, when you consider Scripture, he was known for valuing and respecting God. Matter of fact, or according to Scripture, Timothy was raised to value and to respect God by his mother and his grandmother. That's what the Bible teaches. And he was raised to honor God in such a way to where he began to demonstrate that he honored God in his conduct, in his lifestyle. And likewise, there are a number, if not all of us here this morning, like Timothy, we have been raised to honor God. How many would consider that to be a true statement? You've been raised by various people to value and to respect God, the creator of heaven and earth. The one who said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I didn't get too much response. How many have been raised to honor God by a show of hands? Now, you can be raised to honor God, but it takes an individual choice to say that I'm going to follow through and do according to how I was raised. Because you got a lot of folk, they was raised to honor God, but they choose not to honor God. You've seen young people and grown folk, they'll be quick to tell you, I come up in the church. And it's not good to just come up in the church, but it's even better to come up in the church and to do according to what you were taught in God's church. Am I right about it? Yeah. So we want to make sure that we not only know that we've been raised to honor God, but we live accordingly. In Jesus' day, there was a number of people who honored God only with their lips. They said it with their mouth, but their conduct, their lifestyle, Jesus said, their heart is far from me. And see, whenever a young person, young adult, or an adult truly honors God with their lifestyle, it's going to be some fruit. Amen. I said, it's going to be some fruit on that tree. Jesus taught that a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And so if I've been raised to honor and value God, people should be able to look at my life and they should be able to confess, yeah, they value God. They respect Jesus. Am I still teaching right? Yeah. You're going to see a number of traits or characteristics or qualities on a person who truly honors the Lord. First and foremost, you're going to see that young person, that adult, putting God first. Not just in one aspect of their life, but in every aspect. According to Matthew 6:33, Jesus talked about folk that put him first, they would seek his righteousness and the kingdom of God. And so if I'm honoring God, it needs to be obvious that I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What is righteousness? Is that which is revealed by faith, according to Romans 1:16-17. I'm wanting everything that has to do with God, and I'm making that my priority. Thank God for my phone, but my phone is not my priority. The Lord is my priority. Thank God for friends and family, but they are not my number one priority. Jesus, his kingdom and his righteousness is my number one priority. It was like that with young people in the scripture, and it should be like that with young people in our day and time that honor the Lord. When you look at Daniel, when you look at the Hebrew boy, you see that the Lord was first. And it was so to the point to where they were willing to die for their God. They were willing to lose it all just so they could keep the Lord number one. And how many know we got to get to that point to where we just totally sold out for Jesus? There's a lot of things that we enjoy doing here on this earth. But if I honor God more so than anybody, who's going to be first in my life? The Lord is going to be first. Oh, I got to give him praise, even if you look at me funny, because I keep him first. Am I right about it? But then you'll also see in a person that honors God, they are striving to live by faith. And so when the Lord looks at us, he should see that we are striving to live by faith if we say that we honor him, we respect him, we value him. Why do we need to live by faith? Because according to Hebrews 11:6, faith is what pleases God. And so if I want to please God, if I want to honor God, I need to make sure I am a young person that is living by faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But faith by itself is not good enough. For James said that I need to have some works with my faith. So once I hear the word, I need to put it into action. So God sees that I honor him when I come to church, hear the word, and I'm putting it into action. That's faith. I'm hearing what is coming from the man of God, and I'm applying it to how I think. I'm applying it to how I talk. I'm applying it to my actions. That's what pleases God. And when I'm living in such a way, my conduct is honoring God. Oh, look how y'all looking. Look at somebody and say, we got to live by faith. Yeah, God even expects children, teenagers, young adults to live by faith. And when we do so, that's honorable. But then you'll also see a person that honors God even when it comes to their possessions. For Solomon talked about how we should honor the Lord with our possessions. That means I'm the type of person that understands God loves a cheerful giver. God loves not just the cheerful giver, but we see in Scripture an obedient giver. Oh, yeah, when you go to Malachi, them folk didn't think God loved them. And and when you look at the text, he had to use a prophet to tell them, look, just bring God his tithe and his offering. Yeah, yeah. See, God knows I love him when I keep his commandments. Oh, so if I'm honoring God with my possessions, I'm going to make sure when I get my check, even if I'm going through a tight, God going to get what's his. I'm going to bring God his money first. Even if I'm running late on some stuff, I'm not going to trip. I'm going to make sure God get his first. Well, why should I do that? Because the Bible says that if I bring him his tithe and his offering, according to Malachi 3, 8 through 10, that he will open up the windows of heaven. Pour me out blessing. I have not room enough to receive. How many know that's Bible? Yeah. And so I honor him even with my possessions. My possessions not only have to do with the tithe or his tithe and offering, but whatever God has blessed me with, I need to honor him. If God has blessed you with some clothes, young folk, you need to honor God with them clothes by taking care of them clothes. They may be last year's style, but that's what you got right now. You need to take care of them. You need to wash them clothes, pick them clothes up off the floor. Make sure you take care of whatever it is that God has given you. And look at Jesus taught. He said, if you want what's your own, first take care of what belongs to another man. So if you want God to bless you with your own stuff, honor him by taking care of what belongs to somebody else. That's your mama bathroom. Clean that bathroom the way she wants you to clean it. You driving on your mama insurance, your mama car. Keep that car clean the way she told you to clean it. And when you do that, you're honoring God. Oh, can I go even further? Even with this temple right here, this body, how many know we're not our own? The Bible says, young people, we have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God or honor God in your body and in your spirit, the Bible says, which are his. I honor God even in my body. I'm not going to talk the way the world talks because my body belongs to God. I'm not going to go everywhere that my unsaved friends go because my body belongs to God. I'm going to watch what these eyes are watching. I'm going to be sure I'm selective about what I put before these eyes because this body belongs to him and I want to honor him. Oh, look how y'all looking now. We got to honor God in every aspect of our life. I don't drink because that don't honor God. I don't smoke because that would not honor God. I just don't do this, that, and the other because I want to honor him with my body. And sometimes, young folk, your body get weak. Sometimes your body has cravings. Sometimes your body has desires. But that's why it's important to have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will give us power to keep our body up under subjection. How many have ever dishonored God with your body before? Oh, look how y'all looking now. Yeah, but see, as you grow and mature, you'll realize this body even belongs to him, and I need to honor him with it. And the Holy Spirit is going to help me because he'll guide me into all truth. He'll help me honor him with my possessions as well as with my body. And see, when you leave the church, your name may not be Timothy. Matter of fact, we only got one that I know here today. But like Timothy, we need to have that same spirit. I need to honor God. Value and respect God in everything that I do. You got to have that mindset when you leave the church, because the world and sinners do not want us to honor God. They don't want us to honor God the way the Bible teaches us to honor God. And so we have to make sure, young people, that we don't get caught up. Got to make sure. We got to strive. Oh, man, I got to honor God. I got to honor him. Am I going to make mistakes along the way? Yeah. But I got to just make sure I'm valuing and respecting him, because the world, my flesh, the culture, as you call it, it's not about honoring God. Do it for the culture. No, I ain't going to do it for the culture. I'm going to do it for my God. Because the culture does not honor God. You look at what the world, and especially black folk, call the culture. It's not honoring God. From the fashion to the music, the behavior. Oh, I know I'm talking. Am I talking right? Yeah. It's not honoring God. But as a faith walker, we got to remember, I need to honor God in all that I do. I was doing some research this week, and I came across a song by Young Dirk, or Lil Dirk. Lil Dirk. Not Young Dirk, but Lil Dirk. And as I was studying for this message, I said, Lord, that go right along with what you done put in my spirit. This music is not honoring you. It's not honoring you. And I got to reading this particular, the lyrics on this song. And it's this song called Grow Up by Lil Durk. And I just looked at these two little sentences he got in here. He said, I want to run the streets when I grow up. I want it to be like Meech, a drug dealer, when I grow up. Now, I didn't put the rest of the hook on there. He said, I want to F all the girls when I grow up. I want to be a millionaire when I grow up. And he just kept talking about different things that did not honor God. And so you have to be careful, young folk, because it's put before you as if it is good. But woe to them, the Bible teaches, who call evil good and good evil. This is not honoring God. And so we have to be mindful of the agenda of Satan, the world, and our flesh. If I'm right, somebody shall praise the Lord. And so Timothy was just so profound. Again, one of my favorite characters in Scripture. He honored God so much so that the Apostle Paul spoke of him in many of his letters to various churches. To different churches that Paul wrote to, on occasion, he would often talk about Timothy. And in one letter, he called him a genuine son. He was a real one. He was authentic. In another letter, he called him a faithful son. He lived by the word of God. He was loyal to God. I mean, he would just talk about him, and no doubt he was not a perfect young man. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't flawless. But he was striving so to honor God. The Apostle Paul recognized, man, he's genuine. He's faithful. Especially when it comes to ministry. Especially when it comes to to serving God. Timothy was just that profound to me. He was just so dependable. He was diligent. And when it came to ministry, he was devoted. Just so profound. Raised up to value God and then exemplified it in serving in ministry. And see, that's one way, young people, we demonstrate our love for God is by serving him. What we do for him in his house, we consider that to be a part of ministry. Serving God and others. And I've said it a number of times, but I'll say it again. I believe every child, every young person, young adult, in some capacity, should be involved in ministry in the local church. In some capacity, every young man, young woman should have a role in serving in ministry. I just do not believe that your local school or job should get all of your service. The band, the football team, track team, Spanish club, what have you. I just don't believe they should get all of your service. Everyone should play a part in ministry. Everyone, just like a body, everything connected plays a part. Some of my members are hidden, but the Bible says those are the most important parts of the body. I've never seen my lungs, but I need my lungs. I've never seen capillaries. I've seen blood, but I ain't never seen no capillaries. But I need my capillaries in my body to function properly. Everyone in here needs to have a role, I believe, in ministry. And some are going to be major and some are going to be minor. Some are going to be seen. Some are going to be unseen. But when it came to Timothy, whatever role he had in ministry, look at the notes. He was diligent, dependable, as well as devoted. He was diligent, dependable, and devoted. That's what made him a faithful son as well as a genuine son. Those of you who serve in ministry, do you consider yourself like Timothy? Diligent, dependable, and devoted. Now, this is what get me. A lot of times I see young adults and young people, they're more dependable, devoted, and diligent to a team or to a job more so than serving in God's house. Woo! Look how y'all looking now. I have seen young people get injured but still go to practice. Don't practice, but they injured and they still there standing with the team. But then you look in God's church and somebody got a headache, I can't serve today. No, it don't need to be like that. Or I've seen young people where the coach will cuss them out. I mean, in front of 100 folk. I mean, use F, B, P, you throw another one on the table. G, D, just cuss them out. And they'll still give their effort. But then let the pastor come to church and correct them before everybody using the Bible. And some folk get mad and just want to stop serving in ministry. It shouldn't be that way. Whether you're in a youth church or young adult church or an adult congregation. Bottom line, sooner or later, the truth going to hit you. I said, the truth going to hit you, going to make you mad, too. Sometimes the truth, it'll just have you can't even sleep right because it's just following you home. But the truth comes, the Bible says, to make us free. Am I right about it? And so whatever it is that you do or you're considering to do in ministry, remember, Timothy, you want to do it to the glory of God. Whether you are on an instrument, passing out envelopes, whether you are at the school, passing out different ministry materials or what have you, everyone should have a role in ministry. If I'm right about it, somebody shout, he right about it. And what I love about how Timothy served in ministry is in our verse. He did it just like Paul did it. He was an imitator. He did the work of the Lord just the way his pastor did it. Somebody say, he was an imitator. Yeah. He was what I call a certified copy. Yeah. He did the work of the Lord just like his pastor. He didn't try to reinvent the wheel. He just did it the way he was taught and the way he observed his pastor doing things. Now, before I deal with that, let me say this. The work of the Lord. Again, we defined that as ministry, right? But the work of the Lord is not only ministry, it's just whatever God has assigned for you to do. That's the work of the Lord. There are some things the Lord has us to do. We do it in the sanctuary, right? But then there are certain things or some things that God will have us to do. We do it outside of the sanctuary. So whether it's in the house or something you've been assigned to do, the lesson this morning is to be a certified copy of your shepherd. Just do it the way he would do it. Or the way he has taught you to do it. How many are with me? I was looking at Olivia this morning. I mean, that's just the way I would have did it. Just got up here, say what you got to say, and get on with your business. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't try to show out. Just get up here, say what need to be said. Be professional. And then say, God bless you, I'm out. Boy, y'all ought to give Olivia a hand. That she just did a wonderful job. But did you see her sister? She didn't even say nothing. She was just standing there professional, like on The Price is Right. Just standing there looking all professional. Didn't try to upstage her sister or laugh at her. Just being supportive. I would have did it the same way. Now, I may not have stood like that, but I would have did it the same way. Why? Because that's the work of the Lord. That's God's business. Listen to me. Whatever God has assigned you to do, you have to have the mindset, this is the Lord's work. This is important. You don't play around with this. If God has assigned you to play an instrument, you got to have the mindset, this the Lord's work. On the camera, in the sound room, this is the Lord's work. You the pastor's administrator. Hey, I got to do it the way I've been taught, not the way necessarily I may want. This is the Lord's work. It's the Lord's work. This is important. When you look in scripture, David took seriously just standing by the door. He said, man, if I could just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He looked at being a doorkeeper as being the Lord's work. Something that was very, very important. And that's how all of us at a young age, even as some of us adults, we should look at whatever God has assigned us to do as being very, very important. How many are with me by a show of hands? I'm striving to keep my office clean because this is where I do the Lord's work. I'm striving to keep how I present myself in a professional and clean manner. This is the Lord's work. I don't want to come out here with my chest hanging out and y'all can see all of my business. No, no, this is the Lord's work. Even if you just remove the microphones, brothers, that's all you do every Sunday. Man, all I do is come and move the microphone and the cords. Hey, that's the Lord's work. That's the Lord's work. You take it seriously. You be presentable. You be professional. And you be somebody that others can depend on. You'd be surprised how things can shift sometimes when folk are not in the place they're supposed to be. Lord, have mercy. When folk are not in position and work in that position, it can affect the entire ministry. It's important for the person leading prayer to take that seriously. It's important for the person that's singing and playing instruments to take that, help me, seriously. The person reading announcements, the person that's responsible for cleaning the microphone, the person that's responsible for keeping the sound room clean, all of that is the Lord's. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's work. And by now, by a show of hands, how many understand this is something we don't need to play around with? Yeah. We don't need to play around with the Lord's work. Right? And so Timothy, Paul talks about him in our verse. Notice what he says. He does the work of the Lord as I Those of you who are serving in ministry and those of you who will be serving in the ministry in various capacities in the days to come, remember this, serve in ministry the way you see your pastor serving. Bottom line, be a certified copy. Be a certified copy of your shepherd. Now, naturally speaking, a certified copy of a document is something that's official. It's something that is acceptable. When you go get certain jobs, they want a certified copy, not a picture from your phone. They want an official representation of a document. They won't take daddy a copy from my phone. They need my social security card. Lord, you know if I'm going to get into this school, I can't just send them a Xerox copy of my records from high school. They want a certified copy. How many know what I'm talking about? Certified copies are valuable. You got to pay for them. We went to recently get a certified copy of a death certificate. They wanted $25 per copy. And we needed about six of them. $25. I was like, I just can't make a copy of this at my copy. Mm-mm. We need a real copy. And see, the same thing is what God expects in his church. We need real copies. Woo, look at somebody say, God needs real copies in his church. That's right. Real copies in his church. So let's talk about how do we get this certified copy. Okay? I said, okay. First of all, just imitate. Just copy. Just do what you observe or what you have been taught. That's why the pastor is so important in the church, because the pastor is the one that's going to feed us or teach us with knowledge and understanding. If folk don't know how to do in God's house, guess whose fault it is? It's the pastor's fault. I said if folk don't know how to do in the church, it can be the pastor's fault. Now, the pastor can teach it and the folk can reject it. Then it ain't the pastor's fault. Then it's the folk's fault. But since we're talking about imitating a shepherd, we need to make sure the shepherd right. I have the responsibility of making sure young people have knowledge and understanding. I got to make sure I teach you how to pray. Teach you how to MC. Teach you how to give a testimony. Teach you how to do different duties in God's house. I got to teach you how to be an armor bearer. Teach you how to serve in this capacity and so forth. That's the duty of a shepherd. Feed you with knowledge and what? Understanding. But then the pastor is so powerful, what you get taught and how to conduct yourself in God's house, you can actually apply to your life outside the church. That's what I love about it. What you learn to do in God's house can help you be productive outside of God's house. I had a young man years ago tell me, he said, man, he went and got his first job after high school. He went to school for like a year, but then decided not to continue, and then went and got his first full-time job. So he was working 8 to 12 hours a day. And he was telling me he was one of the youngest, if not the youngest, amongst his employees. And these were grown men that he was working with. They were coming to him for advice about life. This is a teenager or someone in their early 20s. And they was like, how do you know this? And he said, all he told them was, I learned that from my pastor. I learned that at church. The Bible says that the church, young people, is the pillar and ground of truth. In order for us, or the way God set it up, for us to be productive in every aspect of life, you know what we're supposed to learn as God's people most of the things we need in life? In God's house. In God's house. Woo, look how y'all looking now. Thank God for a college degree, but the college degree didn't help me be productive. It was the knowledge and understanding that I got in God's house. That's why it's important, young people, to come to church and apply what you hear on Sunday. But then, young people, when you get 18, 19, 20, 21, if your job hours would permit, you need to attend things like singles. You need to attend things like men's ministry. You need to attend things like women's ministry, because they're going to give you what you need in order to be productive in every aspect of life. Look how y'all looking now. I ain't getting too much response. Y'all listening? So you imitate based upon what you see as well as how you're being taught. But then him doing the work the way his pastor did it, it also suggested that he was connected. So he imitated him and he remained connected. Now, the connection that Timothy had with Paul and Paul had with Timothy, it was a special connection. They were not together 24/7 or all the time. But when they were connected, it says that Timothy was thinking, talking, and acting the same way that his shepherd would. And that's the connection we need to have. That's the connection the sheep should have with the shepherd. You heard how the Lord used Minister George earlier, and he quoted, I believe it was 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul said, I urge you, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Bottom line, just stay connected. Stay connected. I had a young person recently who's now in their 20s share with me recently how over the past several months, that they have been homeless. Now, this is somebody who came up, like we were talking about earlier, was raised in the church. They set up under my teaching. Raised in the church from high school. And the person was telling me, I said, homeless? Yes. I said, like what? Sleeping where? They said, under a bridge. I said, here in Carrollton? In Atlanta. In the rain. Sleeping under a bridge. In the rain. And as I meditated on it after they were sharing it with me, I said, Lord, that's a sheep who lost their connection. See, the Bible talks about how when a sheep loses a connection with their shepherd, that they're sheep, they're just roaming, going to and from. They're lost because they have no shepherd. Behaving as sheep which have no shepherd. And see, you can tell when a person is not imitating their pastor. They lose their connection. Now, this is the thing. They're going to connect with somebody else. It's just not going to be with who God intended for them to connect with. And so Timothy, he kept his connection with his pastor. Pastor preach on him, make him feel some kind of way. He didn't let that sever the connection. Pastor had to rebuke him and correct him from time to time. He didn't let that break the connection. God maybe wasn't moving the way he wanted in his life, but he didn't let that break the connection. And we got to have that same mindset. As you grow, young people, as you mature, a certified copy, they don't lose their connection. And I love the illustration that God gave us here at the MSW years ago. I'm led of the Holy Spirit to share it. You see how we have the MSW up here on the hill, right? Then you have the main sanctuary a few yards across the parking lot, right? Isn't it amazing how some young folk, young adults, they get lost in the parking lot? They're supposed to be trained up by the youth pastor, and then the youth pastor will wing them off of him, and then they will become disciples up under the bishop. But isn't it amazing how some young people get lost in the parking lot? They lose their connection. They lose that connection. I don't want y'all to get lost in the parking lot or lose your connection. You gotta stay connected. Whether you're here or whether you're there, you just gotta make sure you stay connected to your shepherd. Are y'all with me? Yeah. It was another young person. Lord have mercy. Matter of fact, there's two the Holy Spirit putting before me. Two young people here at the MSW, both of them went off to be in the military. Both went off to be in the military. Both went off across the country. And then both ended up leaving the country. One of them kept their connection over the years. In another country, but still connected. Well, let me know. I'm listening to the messages. I'm going to chapel. It's not like home, but I'm still in church. I want you to know I'm listening to the podcast. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to Bishop. I'm also still connected with some of the members at the MSW. Then they would come stateside and be back home. And guess where they would be? Right back in the church. Imitating. Keeping the connect. The other young person went off. Stopped listening to messages. Stop keeping in contact. Started picking up alcohol. Started becoming an alcoholic. started hanging out with other service men that were doing the same thing. Then would occasionally call me with their problems. And then I would say, look, you need to get back connected. You need to repent. You need to give your life back to the Lord, such, 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 such. Wouldn't do it. Time would go by, call me back again with the same. I would tell them the same, man, get back in church and give your life to the Lord, repent, such, such, such. Wouldn't do it. No, it comes down to the individual's choice. No matter where we are in life, young folk, you have to make it your business to stay connected. So if I'm a certified copy, I'm going to be imitating. I'm going to remain connected. And this right here, this is it. And this takes some time, but this got to be your desire. You got to have your pastor spirit. You got to want, not just have it. Let me just say, you got to want your pastor spirit. When you talk about having someone's spirit, young people, you're talking about having their same mindset and attitude. You gotta have or desire your pastor's spirit. Now, sadly, many young people in the church and outside the church, not all, but many, don't desire their pastor's spirit. There's a desire for the spirit of the world. Yeah. But that's not the will of God. Because the spirit of the world ain't gonna do nothing but put you into bondage. And so, young people, it has to be your desire to have the same mindset and attitude about ministry, life, and so forth. That's what makes us a certified copy. We may not like all of the same things. I'm not telling you to be a carbon copy. I'm telling you to be a certified copy. God does not want us to be a clone or a carbon copy. No, no. It made one of me, one of you, right? We should be our individual selves as long as that lines up with the will of God. But God does desire those in ministry, God's people, young folk, to have their shepherd's spirit. And again, spirit has to do with attitude or mindset. Y'all are getting it. One example in scripture. We're going to close with this in my last 3 minutes. There was a prophet in the Old Testament who had a servant or an armor bearer. And so this one particular event took place to where a man came to the prophet to be healed. And the prophet told him what he needed to do to get his healing. And he did it and he was healed. The man was so excited, he offered the prophet some money. He said, I want to give you an offering. You've done this great move of God in my life. Let me give you an offering. And the prophet said, no, I will not receive your money as the Lord lives. I'm not going to receive it. That's not what it's about. And he tried to impress upon him, take this money. I want to bless you. No, not receiving no offering. Y'all with me? And so the man finally said, okay. And he left. But look, the servant whose name was Gehazi, the Bible says that he ran ahead and he grabbed the man and he took the offering. He took the offering. Now, his pastor said no offering. But the servant or the armor bearer said, give me the what? Give me the offer. Was he a certified copy? No. So when he got back to the prophet, this is what the prophet asked Gehazi. Y'all still with me? He said, look, did not my spirit go with you? You my armor bearer. you're supposed to have my spirit. You're supposed to have the same mindset, the same attitude that I have. You know what? The leprosy or the sickness that was on that man is now on you. You see how important it is to be a certified copy? Gotta have the same attitude, the same mindset. Well, pastor didn't do it, so I ain't gonna do it. Well, pastor don't talk like that. The Bible says the same thing. I'm not going to talk like that. I got the same mindset, the same attitude. And I'm telling you, it'll deal with you. It'll deal with you. But that's just how God desires it to be. Especially when it comes to serving in ministry. Just do it the way your pastor would do it. If pastor said 5 minutes, then you got, help me, 5 minutes. If pastor say 12 minutes, 30 seconds, guess how long you got? Y'all with me. That's it. Why does it need to be like this? Because our God, young people, he does everything decently and what? And in order. And when we're on the same page, that's divine order. If I get off the page, I'm out of order. But if God folks stop following who God said to follow, then they're out of what? Out of order. But based upon what we're taught today, how many have a good understanding and you're encouraged to be a certified copy in God's church? I know I am. I know I am. With that being said, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the text and for the topic. If y'all don't mind, come on, let's give God a hand clap.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.